Say good morning, and I greet you all in the precious name of Jesus. It's been a tremendous blessing to be here this morning. Impending judgment. Impending judgment. Do you think about that? Do we believe that it's real? Do you think that someday we might be there? The question this morning is, did we accomplish everything that we wanted to in this past year? Today there's 362 days and about 11 hours of a year have passed. As you reflect back on those many days, the many things that you've faced, the many moments, did you accomplish what you wanted to in the past year? Are you satisfied with what you got done last year? Is it okay with you? Am I okay with it? As I reflect back, and I want to say first and foremost that this was a very inspiring study for myself, a reminder for me, is just to reflect on my own life. As Brother Leon shared there, and I don't want to take anything away from him, but rather endorse it. It was very, very beautifully shared. But there's a verse that stuck out to me there in Titus. As I was thinking of what the Lord laid in my heart, and I thought of that verse. It says, the grace of God brought salvation that appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. How did that go in 2024? How do I find that today as I reflect back? Do I find myself that I was denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, and I lived soberly and righteously and godly in this present evil world? Can we feel satisfied today? If you was taken and you was ushered before the throne of God this morning and you stood in the presence of a holy God, are we satisfied this morning of how we're living our lives? Are we okay with that? You see, it really doesn't matter if I tell you you're okay. What really matters is when you stand there before the presence of God and God says, well done, my beloved son. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's what matters. So did you accomplish everything that you wanted to in 2024? This is the time of the year that when most people sit down and evaluate their finances. Normally they try to do it, some people do it quarterly, and at least most people do it before the end of the year, and the reason is that they're trying to avoid paying more taxes than necessary. We'll leave that be for whatever that's worth. So then they make investments to counterbalance their profit. You see, so if the profit is too high, then we make investments so that it balances this thing out so that we don't have to pay as many taxes as we may have to. Most people use some type of an accounting system. QuickBooks is fairly broadly known. And I was thinking, I was pondering, and the reason we do that is so that we know where every dollar is spent. And at the end of the year, we can click a button and it shows whether we have a lot of profit or we have no profit. We can do that quarterly, we can do it monthly. That's how it's designed. But then I thought, well, maybe somebody ought to design a QuickBooks for our spiritual life. That every day, you know, you put in what was profitable today, what was a loss today, how does my life look? And then quarterly, you know, we can do that. It would keep us accountable. It would show us where we're at. However, at the end of the year, the end of the month, or the end of the quarter, there is no amount of counterbalancing that you can't invest enough that's going to correct all the losses. You can't do it. You can't today. You have 2 days left before the end of the year, and you have many missed opportunities. We have many things that we didn't get accomplished, and so today we're going to stop working. Well, I mean, we don't want to do that, but at least not in our evenings. We're going to go out and we're going to do everything that we didn't get done. We're going to go in our prayer closet and we're going to pray like we never prayed before. We're going to go memorize verses because we forgot to do it this year. But my friends, yesterday's gone. All those opportunities are gone. You'll never see yesterday again. There's 362 days that are gone. Are we okay with that? Am I okay with just that? We can't go back and counterbalance and make some investments and make the books look good here. We can't do that. So how did it go? How did you come out? Well, what does 2024 look like? It's past. We probably can't remember every detail back there. But there's a lot of things that we can remember. This morning we're going to do a line graph. So we have the spiritual, we have the fleshly, or you could probably say carnal, but you have the spiritual and the carnal, and then on the bottom here you're going to have the months. You can break it up in days. You can break it up in hours. But we have the months of the year on the bottom. We want to make sure that we have an accurate account of where we're at today. As we enter into 2025, we want to make sure that the path we're on is okay. That we're satisfied with that. Maybe I should say that God is satisfied with that. But before we can even put a line graph on here, we need to know where we're at currently. Well, we need to know before we're going to make any changes in our life, we need to know where we're at. And that's why we use an accounting system in our financials so that we know where we're at so that we can make changes necessary to make it all balance out. And so much the more in our spiritual life. So much the more, such a higher higher thing that we ought to do. I think it would be God's desire that he would see a line in our life moving in that direction. I believe that would be his heartbeat. I believe that would be what he would desire for us to see. And I thought of that. I thought of a song that says, "I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Each and every day, each moment, every hour, every month, it's higher ground." We're not satisfied to just stay right here. We're not satisfied to start our spiritual life and then hit a plateau, which I don't know that that's even necessary. I think that's called death. And so then it would look like a sudden decline. But sometimes in our journey in our spiritual journey, there are some dips. There are some rises. There are some of those. But I think as we go in this life, that the Lord Jesus would have us to continually be climbing, that these dips don't dip lower than the first one, and that our life just is a continual cycle of up and down, up and down. No victory. We just struggle, and we have victory, and we struggle, and that's I think it's His desire that we would defy the law of gravity, and we would continue to move upward. As we think of this, and I'd like just take out a pen and a paper and make a line graph of your own life. As you're sitting here this morning, it's a good time to just ponder and reflect and think. And you start drawing and you start thinking, you start pondering. But only you know. Only you know. Only I know where I am at. Yes, as we look in each other's lives, there's some good indications, but we have to be just brutally honest with our own heart here, and what does my spiritual life look like? What did 2024 look like? And it may be that this may be after you sit here and for the next hour and you ponder and you write some things down, maybe at lunchtime then it would be good to just sit across from a brother or sister, and if you have the opportunity, so you don't have to talk, you can say, brother or sister, what do you see in my life? What did you see that took place in my life in 2024? Well, where am I at today? And we just yield your heart to that, and you allow the Lord to speak to us. Because, brothers, it's an impending judgment coming. There's a judgment coming. That's why we make preparations today. That's why we have a QuickBooks today. We want to know. We want to keep our record clear. We want to keep the books on. We want to make sure our spiritual life is on an upward climb. You and I will stand before the holy throne of God someday, and we're going to give an account for the things done in our life. Movement is inevitable in the Christian life. Christ would have us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He'd have us to continue to move. But movement must be intentional. And I say that it is intentional, whether it's for good or ill. Whether we do it for good or bad, we do it intentionally. The choices that we make are not just accidental and just happen chance, but they're intentional. We cannot stop movement, but we must be very intentional in the direction we are moving. So you think about a boat out in the water. Now a boat, movement won't stop necessarily, although drift will stop when you drop the anchor. You're going to remain in one specific spot, but the boat still rocks. But when you pick up that anchor and you shut off the motor and you have no purpose and you're just sitting out there, just an evening out on the boat, movement, you have intentionally pulled up the anchor, shut off the motor, and you're going somewhere. Though you may say, well, it's just a passive ride. You've made some decisions and choices that will bring about the consequences that you're going to go with the flow. So I when I think about just growing, going with the flow, is it's because of some intentional choices that we have made somewhere in this journey. Somewhere we've made that this year in the past 2024. We make our choices with some great intentions of going somewhere. So now that we think of our personal life, now we can sit back and we can evaluate this body. Well, what happened in 2024? Let's just think about it. Let's reflect about it. Let's ponder over it. Where are we? Where was we? Where are we today? Well, as a congregation now, because we've talked about our personal life, but now we want to talk about this body. Did change happen? Yes. Movement is inevitable. Change will happen. You can't stop change. But it's intentional. Whether it went right or wrong, it's because some choices were made is why we're moving in the direction we're moving. Was this body in the last year? Did we make a continual climb? Well, you may think there's some dips, there was some rises. Well, where are we? Are we down at the bottom, struggling? Are we up at the top, on the mountaintop? Or are we just at a steady climb, moving forward with Christ? So we look at the church body, we saw movement. Did we increase in the image of Christ, or did we decrease in the image of Christ? As we said here in this community, in this did our light become dimmer, or did it become brighter? Did I lose more of my fleshly desires and passions, and so that more of Christ could shine forth through me? And then that affects the body as a whole. So I would like to encourage us this morning with the same thing that I was encouraged with, and that's a vision that motivates us in 2025 to be in pursuit of the kingdom of heaven, to make some intentional good decisions that will move us in good directions. And obviously we do this personally, and as we do it personally, it affects the body. But it would I'd like to encourage us with that vision, that inspiration, to press into the kingdom because of a judgment that's coming. And if you're already in pursuit of this, well, I trust you'll be encouraged this morning. If not, then I trust that you can repent and you can pursue it. I trust that at the end of the day, you'd be willing to lay down your life and say, Lord, I want it. I wasn't there. And if it requires that, you know, see, there's no shame. If I evaluate my life, there's no shame to say I'm not there. Actually, there's benefit to say we're not there. We didn't get what we wanted to in 2024. If you don't admit that, well, you're not going to get it in 2025 either. It's okay to say, we didn't make it. I fell short. I have to tell my children that sometime. I didn't make it today. I missed the mark today. It's okay. So don't feel embarrassed and ashamed that if on your little tablet there in your line graph, you find yourself at the bottom. It's okay. Just admit it. It'll be better for us in the long run. Now we're going to go to several scriptures. And Matthew, you don't have to turn to this one, Matthew chapter 5. It's one verse there. And the title of the message this morning is Hungering and Thirsting After Righteousness. And that's what I'd like to set before us as we think of entering into 2025. I'd like to put that out there as a vision, as a goal, as an inspiration, as an aspiration for us to plug in, to grab a hold of, and to move forward with the Lord Jesus Christ. To be men and women that are living, dying lives in this dark community, this dark, evil world, that we would shine forth for Christ. And Jesus says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they shall be filled. So there's a blessing here. There's a promise here. There, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, if you seek God with all of your heart, you're going to be filled. You're going to be filled to overflowing, and we'll find that out here later. But God is waiting for a people that are full to overflowing with the Spirit of the Lord and are willing to pursue Him with all of their being. He's waiting for that. He's earnestly pleading for people to do that. It's the heartbeat of God for you and I today. He's looking for a people in this dry desert land that we live in. That are hungering and thirsting, seeking after God. A people that are committed to the testimony of Jesus Christ. that they're going to take the Bible literally and they're going to pursue it. God is waiting to open the windows of heaven and just pour out a blessing upon this congregation. God desires to bless us more than what we could ever ask or think. Can you imagine that? God is just waiting, anxiously waiting to open the windows of heaven and say, here it is. Here's all the resources of heaven for you to live a godly life in Christ Jesus today. There's no excuses. Sometimes I'm appalled by the carnality that creeps into our lives because of the choices that we make. And it suffocates the eternal vision and destroys many generations. When carnality creeps into our life, you know, we may be going along in this life, and at some point we might find ourselves on a downward slope because we're giving in to the fleshly desires and fleshly lusts, the passions of this present evil world. But you can't go down there without choking out the spiritual. Anytime that we go after the flesh, it suffocates the spiritual. And the end result is death. Turn your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter 2. I think we'll start reading in verse 1. And as we read these verses, just keep in mind that when carnality comes in, the spiritual dies. And so as we evaluate our lives and we find ourselves pursuing the flesh, well, it's only a matter of time before we're going to be dead. That's only a matter of time. So in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying..." So the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. God is speaking to Jeremiah. And this is what he tells Jeremiah. "Go and cry into the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the firstfruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof, and the goodness thereof, but when you entered, you defiled my land and made mine inheritance an abomination." So there's a couple of verses there. We'll read on farther, but we'll stop there for a moment. That verse 5 is, "Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity..." And that's a question for us this morning. What iniquity have you found in God that gave you the privilege, or me, the privilege and the right to turn our back on God and to pursue our own fleshly desires? What iniquity did we find in God to do that? That's God's question to the house of Israel. And I believe it's His question to us today. What gives you and me the opportunity, the right to run after my flesh? What did God do? Oh, we forgot to say, you know, we forgot that the Lord brought us out of Egypt. He led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, no man dwelt. And He brought you out of that into a plentiful country. And when you entered there, you defiled the land. That's what God's telling His children here. And I believe that's a message to us today. It's the burden of my heart for my own life is that in this dark world that we live in, that we don't somehow justify myself looking at God and living after my flesh. But I remember what God did. And I remember that He brought me to a land of plenty and that we bless Him and we're encouraged by that. In verse 8, the priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Verse 9, he says, wherefore? Because of this, I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. He's earnestly pleading, will you please turn back to me? Come back to what I would desire to make you to be a holy people. So you see God pleading with Israel here. Verse 10, for pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O you heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. My people have committed two evils. It wasn't just enough, you know, that, well, we're just going to forsake the fountain of living water. We're going to turn our backs on God. We're going to walk the other way. But now we've concocted some design, some way that we're going to try to give life to ourselves. And it's a broken cistern. It's full of stagnant, dirty, stinky water. And it holds nothing. It's of no value. God says, you have turned your back on me and you've exchanged that for this. He says, be astonished, O you heavens. Don't be horribly afraid of the desolation of my people. How was it in 2024? Did I forsake the fountain of living water to establish and to come up with some idea of mine that's going to give me life and purpose? We see in this chapter how soon God's people forgot him. After things smoothed out, they simply started to pursue carnal things. After they passed through the waters, you know, they had enough food and God somewhere in the back. You see, in our journey of life, at conversion, there's a great spiritual spike. Most of the time, I would say it is always, if it's a true conversion. But then what? Well, what about 6 months after that? What about 10 years after that? Did things smooth out? Things got a little better? We kind of learned how to live? Flesh isn't as bad as we thought it was at conversion? They simply started to pursue carnal things, other gods. And in doing this, they forsook the fountain of living water, the source of life. They left it behind. They walked away from it. In exchange, they took up cisterns, broken cisterns. There's no life there. There's no water there. It's dry. Here we see that they made a deliberate choice to turn away from God. It wasn't passive. It wasn't by accident that they missed the road. It was intentional. The choices you are making today are either taking us closer to the fountain of living water, or they're taking us closer to cisterns that hold no water. And only you and I know what we're pursuing in this life. Only I know what I'm running after. Only you know. Only you can evaluate 2024. Today, my plea would be that we need men and women that will make deliberate choices to pursue Christ and His kingdom. People that are finished with this world and all of its allurements. A people that desire to be used of the Lord in a mighty way. A people with a heavenly vision. A people that see and understand the purpose of the bride in this sin-cursed earth. That's what we need today. And that's what God is pleading with His people today. Is can He find a people like that today? Can he find a people that are tired of this world and all of its enticements? And that we have a heavenly vision, our vision for 2025, what is it? You see, in the reason that sometimes we don't make the mark is because we don't have a vision. It says that if we have no vision, the people are going to perish. The people are going to fall by the wayside. The people are going to get lost on the way. So there has to be a vision. Where do you want to be in 2025? Where do you want to go? So without that, we're going to perish. At the end of 2025, we're going to find ourselves back here again. Oh, how to make it. I'd encourage us to do it monthly. Just evaluate. You see, here's my goal. Right up here is my goal. This is maybe where I am. But that means I'm not here. That means I got some growing to do. But I have to make some intentional choices. The first question we have to ask is, what doth hinder me from reaching this goal? If I am here, why am I not here? And so now we decide, well, what hindered me? And so now I write that down. Just write it down on a piece of paper. What doth hinder me from having victory or going and passing out tracts or being in my prayer closet more often? What hinders me? We have to write the hindrance down. We have to acknowledge what is stopping me from doing that. And now we know where we're at. We've evaluated ourselves and we know the roadblock. And now we have to decide what we're going to do with that roadblock. And we make intentional choices. We make decisions. Maybe I'm going to go into work later. Maybe I'm going to give less time to my work. Maybe I'm going to bring more flowers to my wife this year. Maybe I'm going to talk more kindly to my children this year. Maybe I'm going to obey daddy and mommy this year. What hinders us from doing that? Lord, give us a vision. We need a vision to take up the cross, surrender our lives, and to follow him with all of our heart. I'm fearful that I find myself sometimes seeking God only because of the miracles. Only because of the miracles. For fleshly pursuits of personal gain. And no, we're not exempt from this. Turn your Bibles to Matthew or John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, we read of a people that did that. They sought Christ only for the miracles, only for the loaves and the fishes. And we're just going to jump in here. Jesus answered them, verse 26, chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." So we find here that we find a people that was simply, we find them in the prayer closet. We found them reading their Bible. We found them pleading with the Lord because they needed some help in a fleshly pursuit. It wasn't quite meeting the goal. Maybe a customer, maybe they did something wrong and a customer's upset, and so now we find ourselves in a prayer closet. Why did you seek Christ this year? In 2024, why did we seek him? Was it just for the miracles? We needed something done, so we found ourselves seeking him with all of our heart. Many cryings and tears, pleading, "Lord, we need you to do this work. I'm up against the brick wall. I'm up against the crossroad. I can't figure it out on my own anymore." And so now I find myself in the prayer closet. All the while we're laboring for meat that perisheth. If we could see ourselves living in a dry and a thirsty land, then we would find ourselves seeking God continually. And we would be laboring for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. impending judgment. Always hold that up there. And then to encourage us and to inspire us is to give you an example of some work that is meat that doesn't perish. Just in this community yesterday, there's a young lady in her mid-20s passed away from cancer. My wife's aunt is dying of cancer. There's an older lady in this community that would desire to depart from this life and to go be with God, but she's just not sure that it's okay between her and God. And there are many others that without repentance will spend eternity in hellfire. And we sit here and we're enjoying the forgiveness of our sins, and we look forward to spending eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. The sad thing, the question this morning is, who will go? Who will go? Who's going to go and tell those people of so great a salvation? Well, we can't because we have so much going. We'd rather go and gather together with a night of fun and fellowship and talk about the lost around us without a burden to see them in glory someday. I would like at this time, just for those of you in your 20s, stand up. And 20 to 29, just stand to your feet. This morning, this young lady was, a couple days ago, she was told by a doctor that if you have something to say to your friends, you better say it. This morning, you're ushered to the throne room of God. Is it okay between you and God this morning? Is it okay for you to stand in the presence of a holy God? You okay with that? To take your final breath? Just think about that. You may be seated. Thank you. But I think about that, and that's real for every one of us. That young lady didn't just die and go to the dust of the earth. It's eternity somewhere forever. Without repentance, it's hellfire. Lord, give us a burden. Lord, give us a vision for this work. The blessings will only come to those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And if we as a congregation are missing some blessings, maybe we're coming short, the blessings aren't coming in, well, maybe we need to take a closer look at our pursuits in this life. What are we pursuing? Jesus says the blessings are going to come if you hunger and thirst after me. If the blessings in your personal life are it feels like there's just a cloud there and then the blessings aren't coming down, it's time to evaluate. It's time to stop. Don't keep plowing your way forward and trying to pray through. Just fall on your face before God and say, God, I'm not making it. I am falsely professing to follow you. I have been a hypocrite. It's okay. Repentance is what God calls us to. It's not a bad thing to repent. It's a good thing to repent. Maybe we need to turn our hearts and repent from our wicked ways. Maybe we need to enter into the prayer closet more. So the question is, in 2024, what has my heart been panting after? That's the question that I've been asking myself in the last couple weeks, is just resounding in my mind. The sobering thing is, it's not really difficult to see what we fed on in the past year. It's not. If we want to be honest, it's not. Nothing happens without effort and investment. Nothing. Okay? So in the past year, did I pursue the carnal things or the spiritual things? And when you do that little line graph in your tablet, just be honest. You can close the cover and you don't have to let anybody else see it. But if it's wrong, if you're finding yourself pursuing the flesh, fall on your face and repent. Whatever we fed grew. Okay? Whatever we fed last year, it grew. Whatever we didn't feed, it starved. It was dying. And whether it's our flesh in our appearance or our possessions or whatever it may be, whatever we fed flourished, and the other was choked out. Was I found in the last year, was I found longing for the fullness of the blessing of the Lord? We sing those songs. We're longing for it. We desire it. We want it. How bad do we want it? Deception is on every hand. That's why we must be honest about where we are. We'll just deceive ourselves into believing that we're just fine right where we are. That's why we just have, and that's why I would encourage, young people, older people, sit down across the lunch table and just open your heart up. It's a safe place to do that here. It's not a bad place. Oh, somebody might tell you things that you don't like, but that's just the flesh. Just receive it and say, Lord, yes, I understand. Someone told me I was pursuing the flesh, and I'm going to take that home, and I'm going to change. But sometimes we get we think like this. So I'm going to paint a little picture here. Sometimes I think we get this picture of ourselves. We picture this vast river with a swift current. In the river there are many paddle boats, all going with the current. So a river runs one way. The whole river's running one way. It's not split in the middle. So everybody's there. There's many paddle boats, and they're all going along with the current except you. Your boat is also out there, but your boat is facing the opposite direction. Everyone else is swiftly passing you by and struggling to go against the current. So you feel pretty good because you are going the opposite direction. So you think, but it's deception. The current is all, you're all going the same direction. So sometimes we feel good about ourselves simply because we're sitting backward from everybody else. And we're going down the stream backward, and they're going down the stream forward. And it's called deception. What we need to do is we need to get out of the river. So now we're going to look at some scriptures of a picture that a man is spiritually thirsty and knows what to do and where to quench his thirst. Psalm 42, verse 1. We're going to read some in the Psalms and we'll move on. So in Psalm 42, this is David. David says this, he makes some illustration here. As a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. So you see here, David gives a picture of a man that is parched. His soul is parched. He's living in a dry and thirsty land. He's been in pursuit. He evaluates his last year and he finds that he's coming up short. And he's panting. He says, my heart longs to have that sweet fellowship with God again. My heart longs to be and to have that koinonia with Christ. It desires, there's a longing there. I think of this, that if you ever had some animals and you take away water from a day and you hear this bawling and this pleading and they're thirsty and you put some water out there and they all flood to the water trough. So my soul longeth for thee, O God, in 2025. As a deer panteth after the water brook, so my soul pursues you, O Christ. Do we get it? Do we see that vision? That's what it's for in 2025. That's the desire of the heartbeat of God for you and I. Do I find myself being thirsty for God? Do I find myself longing to spend time alone with God? Psalm 63. Just turn your pages there and start in verse 1. This is a picture of a man that understands the satisfaction that comes from a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows that there is nothing that compares to a life spent seeking God. There's nothing holds water to a life invested in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 1 it says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. And just a note on that, that early will I seek you. I want to encourage you as children this morning. Don't ever think you're too young. And this could mean early in the morning that David seeks him. But early in your life, learn to seek God. Learn to take some time alone and just find a quiet place in the house and just start that relationship. Start communing with God, learning how to commune with the Lord Jesus Christ. Early will you seek Him. The earlier you do this, the better it'll be for you in life. But it's a man there that understands that there's nothing that compares in this life to a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing holds water to that. Psalm 143. Psalm 143, the first six verses, says, Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hand. I stretch forth my hand unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. And I read these verses and I thought about this here. I thought of this summer when we was in a drought and the ground was dry and the ground, there's big cracks, it opens up and it's just thirsting, it's pleading for a drink of water from its creator, just one drink of water. And here we have this man here finds himself, he's down and out, he's under the burden of life, under the burden of the cares of life. Yes, he remembers what it used to be. He remembers this spike back here, but he knows he's not there anymore. Something happened, and he's not sure what, but he would love to have that relationship back again. And so he finds himself pleading on his knees, pleading with God, and saying, God, please restore what was lost. And you see, we can do the same thing this morning. We can, if you have once tasted and saw that the Lord was gracious and He is no more, just repent. It's not hard. And you can be, but if you've never tasted that the Lord is gracious, today is your opportunity. Tomorrow it may be way too late. You and me, as that young lady, are going to meet Christ someday face to face. And if we're not right with God, then we're going to spend eternity in hellfire. This past year, and I just threw a number in here, we've had, you and I have had at least 10,000 opportunities to allow our flesh to be mortified. How did it go in 2024? How did it go? Did we allow Christ to do His work? You know, some examples, I just jotted down some. Serving my spouse. You know, that's always an opportunity to die. Just let the flesh be mortified. Serving my children, serving my parents, dealing with customers, talking with brothers, submitting to my brothers, and the list could go on and on and on. At least 10,000 opportunities to be mortified. And I die daily. I must decrease so that Christ could increase. We've all had that opportunity. The question is what happened? Did I live or did I die? Turn your Bibles to John chapter 6 again for the solution for a new and a better way for 2025. We're going to have to skip in here. I wasn't exactly sure where, but I think we'll just, in chapter 6, I think we'll jump in at verse 48. And I know this is in the middle here, but Jesus says here that I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness, but they're dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. What a beautiful promise. We get that? That we can eat of this bread and we won't die. Glory, right? I mean, this is exciting. He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And perhaps you ask the same question, how can we eat of the flesh and the blood of Jesus Christ today? Then Jesus answered, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat man and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now that's a beautiful solution to reach our vision to become more like Christ in 2025, is eating and drinking of the flesh of the Son of Man. Well, how do we do that? It's that the promise is that if we eat, we're going to live forever. We'll be alive and well. We're going to be blessed in the presence of an almighty God. But if we forsake him, the fountain of living water, then surely we're going to die. So how are we going to do this? Daily consuming his word. You see there's a lot of ETHs, these words ending here with ETH. That's continually, over and over, daily, we're consuming the word of God. At least, at the very least, minimally, you ought to read the word once a day. But beyond that, you ought to at least study the word and ponder therein. And it becomes a part of you. It becomes within you. And then we're eating and we're drinking, and then we'll live like he lives. And then after we eat and we drink, then we go over to chapter 7 in the last day. In verse 37, the last day, the great day of that feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Jesus stood on the outskirts of the feast, and I believe it just echoed across the hills and the valleys. If any man thirst, come, come. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's a beautiful opportunity for 2025. Out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. That living water is the words of life. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's men and women that are full of the Holy Spirit. And Christ dwells within and they're just running over with Him. And when that happens, the flesh is being consumed. You see, that plea still rings across in this room and across this community and across the world today. If you are thirsting today, come to Jesus and He'll give you drink. If you find yourself in a desert land in your life, the call is for you also. Come. Then we find the great call in Revelation chapter 22. It says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things. In the churches, I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star, and the spirit of the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So you see this morning, the invitation is good for all. If you heard, come. If you're thirsty, come. If you've been satisfied, come. It's okay. We can come and we can drink of the fountain of living water, and then we will find life raising up in us and flowing out. Other than that, it's just some manufactured, concocted thing that we come up with, and it's cisterns that are broken. They're broken. They don't hold any water. And that's why we find ourselves thirsty again and again and again, because we're trying to do it on our own strength. We're trying to live the Christian life the way that I think it should be lived and the way that I believe that is the right way. When all Jesus says is come, if you're thirsty, come and I will give you the water of life freely. I trust that this morning that you can be encouraged as you think of this. Now we think of the 2025, I don't know where you're all at on this. I know where I stand, but there's many, many New Year's resolutions made. I don't make resolutions. And the reason is, there's many resolutions made in the next couple of days, such as, we're going to lose weight this year, we're going to get in shape this year, we're going to fast more this year, I'm going to get in my prayer closet more this year. We're going to read through the Bible this year. I'm going to spend more time alone with God this year. I'm going to obey my parents better this year. I'm going to love my children more. I'm going to care for my spouse in a loving way. I'm going to increase the declining relationships. I'm going to invest less time at work. So you see, these are all good things. But unless it's repentance, they're not going to hold any water. Oh, we can make good resolves and resolutions and we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to get this thing accomplished. We're going to conquer this thing. But all we have to do is say, Lord, we missed the mark. I don't love my wife like I should. I'm not obeying my daddy and mommy like I should. And it's sin, you see. But while we resolve, because while we're just struggling in this area, it's just an area that we need to kind of shore up a little bit. But see, when we fall short and we miss the mark, if we see it to be sin, then we'll fall on our face and God can actually change us and lift us up to another, to new heights that we're going to be gaining. Now, this is very serious business. We're not playing games. Our life and many others will be affected by the choices that are made in 2025. My life and many others. These choices have potential of changing people's destiny for eternity, whether it's good or bad. Do you care? Do you care for those around you that are dying without Christ? Do we really care? Will it motivate us? Oh, for a couple, 3 weeks? Or will it change us forever? And that's my prayer for my own life, and I would ask that it be your prayers for my life, that I could be changed forever. Not just a temporary change, not just a 3-week fix, an emotional high, but a change that changes the course that I've been living. May the Lord bless you.